Welcome back to the Paranorm Girl podcast. I am your host, Kristen. Due to some unforeseen time constraints heading into my Nighthouse journey, there was some last-minute coordinating in order to post the new show today. You can look forward to our dive into different haunting types and a brief investigation recap next week, but for today, I am so happy to be able to bring this guest to you good folks ahead of schedule. Today we discuss crystal work, intuition, precognition, and spiritual health with a witch. My guest holds a degree in sociology and psychology. She is also the owner of Desert Witchy Chicks, a store that features handmade custom offerings, from decor to altar boards to spiritual tools. Her services include tarot readings, hypnotherapy, meditation guidance, chakra cleansing, crystal assessments, trauma processing, and more. Many of her services can be accessed virtually for anyone curious enough to contact my guest following the program. Along with her education of the human mind and human connection, she also uses her abilities as an empath and a channeling intuitive medium in order to better help people on their own spiritual journey forward and to heal past trauma. Please enjoy my conversation with Amy of Desert Witchy Chicks.
I had this weird dream of just being able to help anybody. I wanted to make sure that it was an all-inclusive. I took the gender study classes. I took the, you know, human sexuality. I took abnormal psychology. I took cognitive neuroscience. I mean, you know, psychopharmacology. All of those were electives. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to understand the people I was trying to help.
Yep.
And so I graduated my Bachelor of Science degree in 2019. Is that right? No, that was my AA, sorry, 2021. I got through my AA at Arizona Western College, which is the community college here in Yuma. And then I transferred to Northern Arizona University, which also has a campus here in Yuma. And that's where I finished my Bachelor of Science. I graduated that in 21. And it's funny, I'm looking at my degree right there and did not see the date. So this is literally mid-pandemic. Yep. And when I was having to look for master's programs, et cetera, I was 48 years old, trying to go into a very competitive social work field.
Sure. Yeah.
Against 20-somethings. And yes, I had a 3.9 GPA, but I also was not necessarily higher risk for COVID, but I was closer to higher risk mm-hmm. for COVID. I wasn't going to be able to get the clinical hours. I wasn't, you know, there was like literally, I was stuck.
Yeah.
Well, right in the middle of the end of my bachelor's degree, before I actually finished, I met a young lady who convinced me finally one night to call the Boulder Psychic Institute for a free psychic reading. I was very skeptical, you know, that, yeah, whatever. She's not going to have a Toto's basket from me. You know, it's like, this isn't going to happen, right? She convinced me to do it. I said, fine, it's free, you know, for shits and giggles, why not? So I called, and there it was, some weird technical glitches mm-hmm. Where the original person, I was like, because the way they do it is like a match queue. So basically they put all the people that have called in for a queue, and then all of a sudden just randomly they're matched with a psychic. So that way there is no possibility of them knowing anything about you, basically.
Okay. And this, just to clarify, this is you going into the psychic to speak to a
calling,
to speak to one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Calling. Got
yes.
it.
Yes. Right. And it's just a free reading. They do them all the time. You just call in, you know, okay. So the very first person who popped onto my line all of a sudden disappeared. And then I was like in a hold pattern again. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden someone comes on. They're like, wait, we don't know what the heck just happened, but you were connected with so-and-so. And somehow we lost that connection. So we're just going to throw you back in, basically, and connect you with somebody. Okay, that's fine. So the second person comes on the line. I just barely say my name. And all of a sudden, we have this other person back in the background. Hi, I'm back. And so the second person who answers said, that was the person who was originally supposed to get you that you we lost. We don't even know what happened to the call. It was just gone. And all of a sudden, now she's back. I'm going to let her do your reading.
Okay.
She goes, because I feel like that's what's supposed to happen. And I'm like, okay, because I'm still kind of like, you guys are all, ooh, you know, I'm like, whatever. So I'm really only doing this so I can tell my friend I did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so the woman gets on the line and we're still kind of laughing over the whole weirdness of the situation. And so I just tell her my first and last name. And instantly she says, "Whew, you got a lot of weeds that need to be cleared out up here." And I sit there, I'm like, okay. And she goes, you basically bury everything. Mm. And I'm like, okay. She goes, you're the mom to everybody, and nobody's ever the mom to you. She goes, including yourself. So she's starting to, you know, spark a few nerves, or at least mm-hmm. hit a few nerves. And then she's like, I don't know what this is. She's like, but there's something stuck in the weeds. I'm going, okay. And she goes, hold on a minute, I'm still clearing out some energies. And she's like, oh, she goes, that's weird. It's a pink Barbie car. She goes, you know, like the one that Barbie, and I said, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I said, but I have no clue why that's stuck in my psyche, you know, basically. And she's like, I don't know. She's like, but there's a lot of wounds around it.
Huh.
And I'm going, okay. And I get off the phone with the woman and I did ask her another question about how I knew when my father-in-law was going to pass. And she explained that to me, mm-hmm. which we can get into that. That's a little bit different subject. But we got off the phone and I couldn't figure out what that Barbie car was. And so I went out to the living room and I was telling my husband, you know, about it. And I was like, well, seriously, I have no idea what that Barbie car yep. was. I'm like, everything else, she literally hit right on the head. But that, I don't know. And all of a sudden, I had that, wow. When I was a child, my best friend was the girl that had everything. She was the one that grandma would go on fancy trips, and they were from the South. So she would come back with the gunny sack dresses for her. And she always had the Barbie dream house. Yeah, I mean, she had everything. And I was the one that was struggling to share with a sister who was 6 years older than her. So I was jealous of everything this girl had. Well, there was an experience that happened to me when I was a child that involved her, that put a lot of shame on a lot of what I did for pretty much the rest of my life, including my adult life. When I had that realization that it was a pink Barbie car that was attached to that trauma, I was right in the middle of learning about those types of traumas in school. And there's more details to the experience, but those don't need to be public for multiple reasons. But I was then, for the first time, able to talk about that experience with just about anyone.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I have shared it when I'm like talking about it with a person and we're working mm-hmm. through something. I've shared it. I just don't think it should be televised.
Now, can I interject just real quick? So at this time, when you did this call, you said you were skeptical. Like how skeptical were you? Did you never like considered?
I mean, no, I always had curiosities. Mm-hmm. Like I was always the one that would do the daily horoscope.
Okay.
You know, I would look up tarot cards, you know, when I was a waitress before I had my kids, and even after I had the kids, for a short time, I could walk up to a table and write someone's order down before they told me what they wanted.
And you never thought that was like
not really something? Because I was raised in a Southern Baptist house where that would be evil.
It's just it's
so
kind of
you just didn't talk about it.
Yeah, it's just mind blowing because when this experience took place, that this was not long ago. This was just a few years ago, and now here you are today. You are an empath. I want to get this correct. A channeling intuitive medium. These are on your site in your bio.
Yep.
You own Desert Witchy Chicks, the store. Yeah. It's you offer all kinds of services, energetic services, spiritual cleansing to people. You sell some awesome like homemade custom stuff. I still got the engraving. I think it's like the circle like business card. I still got that. Just some really cool stuff. I saw a Ouija board that was custom for Tombstone that you made it specifically for the Paracon that we met at. And here you are today, just a couple of years later, entirely different route. And this had to happen. Like the
it did. Yeah. And I have kind of a psychological perspective on that, which I love to share with people. Mm-hmm. So my degree was psychology and sociology. Mm-hmm. Obviously did not go the counseling route for whatever reason. So I did need to find another program though, because I knew I wasn't done because of the fact that this had happened, that all of a sudden I had this aha moment and I wanted to know more.
Right.
And so I started looking for metaphysical schools, and I wanted to find something that was federally accredited. I had been a student for 4 years. I had no income. You know, I was not ready to go back to work full time and give up this new journey that I just discovered. And so I started looking and looking and looking, and I almost did the University of Sedona, but I couldn't come up with the funds that would need for tuition, etc. And so I stumbled upon the Southwest Institute of Healing Arts.
Okay.
It is in Tempe, and they offered an online integrative healing arts practitioner program. It's about a 2.5-year program. It is federally accredited. And so I took that. And in that program, I learned advanced hypnotherapy. I learned life coaching and spiritual coaching. I can work with as a death doula or a birth doula. I can teach people about meditation, energy, you know, work and healing. I am not a healer. Anyone I work with is their own healer. Mm-hmm. All I am is a facilitator to teach them. But I learned a little bit about herbs. I learned a little bit. I mean, it literally was everything. Mm-hmm. And I just started more and more looking at my life differently. And at the same time that I was doing that program is when I worked for my friend Tamara running her crystal store. And so I started learning more and more and more. I mean, I'd always liked rocks. I had plenty of my own. That's how I met Tamara to start with, which goes into my family history. But so I started working for Tamara. And while I was working for Tamara, we started making these connections to great grandma. My great grandparents were rock hounds that traveled the country. Mm-hmm. Their children were basically raised in the pickup on the sides of mountains because that's what they did. And I did not know it until after I moved to Yuma, but my grandparents had actually settled in Quartzsite, Arizona for a time, which is only about an hour north of us. After they settled there, because there was a lot of mining right in here.
Right.
So after they settled there, they moved to Virginia City. And that is where they bought their home. I don't know what the cellar was for, but they had a full-size cellar underneath the house. That was their antique store and rock shop. And then they lived in the home that was street level. And up until I think Aunt Margaret just passed, probably in the last 5 years. That was their middle daughter that just passed, and she still lived in that home.
Okay.
And if you've ever been, you've been to Virginia City.
Not, no, right? No. I okay. thought at first you were like, oh, wait, Montana? Because I've been to that Virginia City. But
No. Virginia City, Nevada. It's the one mm-hmm. where the infamous Bucket of Blood saloon is.
Ooh. Okay. Yes. Okay.
And she lived on that main street. She was only about 3 blocks from the Bucket of Blood.
Okay. Okay.
Well, it was funny because Tamara, which is my friend who owned the crystal store, used to come in and she would bring me crystals in and say, okay, learn these. This is what I want you to learn. You know, get a little bit more information on these. Well, one day she came in and she goes, I want you to tell me what this is. And I'm like, okay. So she puts this crystal in my hand and I looked at it and I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my conscious mind, I'm looking at it going, no clue. But as I'm doing that, telling her basically with my entire body that I don't know what it is, the name comes out of my mouth. And she looks at me and she goes, I want to know how the F you knew what that one was. Huh. And she goes, because not only did you know what it was, but the name you gave me was a very old name for it. It was like the original name, not one of the newer names.
Whoa.
And I went, I don't know. Well, as we were sitting there talking, and she is also an empath. Mm-hmm. And so she's watching me and she's watching me interact with people. And I literally had a lady come in one day that I knew from the moment she walked in that she needed something. And at the end of it, I ended up providing her exactly what she needs. And she is still my friend and customer today. Because it literally just, it hit us both that hard. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all of this stuff is happening to me basically in my late 40s.
Okay.
And I'm going through this school that's also teaching me a lot about energies and feelings and how things happen and the spiritual world, et cetera. And I am also, I have worked in the mental health industry. I was a case manager right before I did the crystal store. And I saw so many young women being diagnosed bipolar and being diagnosed schizophrenic and major depressive and anxiety. And it's all over the place. Right. It was just disgusting. And all the medications that were being handed out like M&Ms. And I sat there and I went, wait a minute, this has happened before. I'm like, this is when it was, she's a witch. She's a witch. She's a witch.
Yep.
And what was it? It was women who didn't conform. It was women who didn't believe in the indoctrination. It was women who wanted to help and hold their own families to themselves and not give control to anyone else. And so I started really thinking about it. And I'm like, you know, there's something to this. And we're going through this pandemic and you keep hearing about the spiritual awakenings and you're hearing about all this stuff. And I really sat there and I went, wait a minute. I have a degree in psychology and sociology and I don't understand this. So I need to figure out how. And so I started looking at the patterns and the statistics of the women who were having health crises at the time. And I started looking at it across the globe. I mean, just looking at it everywhere. And one of the things, and I mean, I'm just doing Google searches. There is literally nothing except for the fact that I do look for the proper documentation when I'm looking at things. You know, it's not just Google or Wikipedia. But I'm looking at statistics of these women and men too. It's all over the place. But the two concentrations were in the 20-somethings, where they're just getting ready to start having families. They don't typically have them yet. They're just starting to have their families, or they're going to have families. And then in the 40s to 60s, those women who've already had children, who've already raised children, who already know how to teach a younger generation things. And then these 20s that are going to need to teach a younger generation things. How were we taught in the old days? You were taught by your mothers. You were taught by your fathers. You were taught by your aunts, your uncles, your sisters. It was generational. Well, when you were no longer allowed to have your own feelings because everything was construct and rules and threats and intimidation, and it was all done because God loves you. They quit teaching that mm-hmm. way. And the beliefs just kept falling off, because they weren't teaching at home anymore. They were sending them to a school teacher. They were sending them to a pastor. They were buying their medicines. They weren't making their medicines. There was one farmer, not 10. You know, when it all changed, our society started to change. And it started breaking down because your family was no longer important. You just went and found support somewhere else. And not saying that family and blood are a tie that you should have, because I definitely know that that is a tie that should be broken if it's toxic. Mm-hmm. Blood is not your family. Who you pick as your tribe is your family. Mm-hmm. But we all would be better together as families if we were teaching each other that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I really think that the universe was bringing those two generations together.
Okay.
At the same time, going through the same things so that we could start teaching each other and continue to pass this down. Because of the way that our political climate and everything that's going on in this world, mm-hmm. I mean, right now, mm-hmm. if we don't change something, we are going to be what Terminator predicted us to be. And if you look at the years on that one, it's only 5 years from now.
Gosh, that movie traumatized me when I was a kid. It is entirely it's conceivable. It's sad to say now that it is conceivable. Like it's not out of the realm of possibility.
We're destroying ourselves.
So yeah.
Yeah, we destroy ourselves every day. So it's funny because bringing it back to that is, the very, very first time I could say I was officially out of the broom closet was I had already had my business name. I'd already started mm-hmm. the business, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it was on the basis of naturalism. I make herb kits, that kind of
thing.
And I had this little old woman walk up to me at an RV park craft show. She goes, "So, are you a witch?" And I looked at her and I kind of giggled, and I'm a little bit sarcastic. So I said, "Well, I play with rocks. I use herbs to fix my ailments. Mm-hmm. The moon is really pretty when she's full." And I said, "Well, I guess, yeah, if all those things make me a witch, then yeah, I guess I am." She laughed. She walked away. She's been a customer ever since. It was not an offense whatsoever. She was just wanting to know what the hell I would say.
I was waiting for a completely different, because I've heard that story numerous times. Yeah.
She just wanted to know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I guess. I mean, because everybody's perception and description of a witch is different.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Do you run into that at all? Like in your community in
Okay. Oh, yeah. Now, we do have a very high indigenous population, mm-hmm. obviously, because we are right between like 2 or 3 Indian reservations and the border.
Yeah.
I mean, I can literally go a couple miles south and I'm at the border wall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we do have a lot of spiritualism here.
Okay.
And we also have a lot of really heavy spiritual activity here.
Yeah, the area itself is like highly active.
Yes, it is. The Yuma Territorial Prison is extremely active.
Hmm.
And so is Lutz Casino and the Lyric Theater. Mm-hmm. And there have actually been ghost hunts in all of those places. You guys have got to come check it out. They're cool.
Do you think that part of the reason that the activity is so high in the area is because of the... I'm not sure what's in the soil. There's something that's like abundant in the soil there.
May lice. It's ley lines.
Okay.
It's ley lines. The ley lines are the energetic lines that run under the country, basically, under the soil. And in certain areas of our country, they are very concentrated. Mm-hmm. New Orleans is one of them. Mm-hmm. Salem is another one of them. So, and you'll notice that there was a lot of high activity in those areas, and there always will be just because of the energies that are there. Mm-hmm. I don't understand them completely. It's like I've only, you know, just basically touched the tops on them, because that does definitely lean more towards the paranormal side of it, because we deal with more just guides, ancestors. I don't, and this is where it's funny, you have like, I don't know how many clair senses there are anymore. I know there's a lot of them. And you have clairaudience, you have clairvoyance, you have claircognizance, mm-hmm. you have, I mean, there's all kinds mm-hmm. of them. So clairvoyance is that somebody who sees, they see things happening, they see people, they see activities, experiences, etc. Clairaudience is somebody who hears. So they may hear voices, or they may get warnings, or whatever the case may be. Well, I don't have any of those cool ones. The ones that, you know, you can say, I saw it, I heard it, I know what I know. Uh-huh. No, I don't have that. Mm-hmm. I have the one that's called claircognizance.
Okay.
Claircognizance, the best way it's ever been described to me is, you know, that person that always just knows the exact right thing to say mm-hmm. at the exact right moment, and they hit the nail on the head, even if they didn't even know who you were.
Yep.
That's how mine works.
Oh, okay.
So I don't even know how I get the information.
It just appears.
It's just mm-hmm, there mm-hmm. because I can literally be sitting there looking at somebody. And I just did it to a girl the other day, and I don't like to make people cry. And you do need to say that. I do not enjoy making people cry. I do not. However,
I would be worried if you did.
there has been multiple occasions that I will have someone walk up, and they're always inquisitive. That's why they're there. Uh-huh. They're coming in looking for something. Mm-hmm. And so they'll start asking me, well, what would I use for, you know, cleansing my house? And it's always very innocuous to start with. They're very vague questions. When they really need help, you will get the dumbest questions. Like, what's the difference between incense and cones when they're looking at, you know, mm-hmm. cones and sticks when they're looking at them? Mm-hmm. They're obvious questions, but they're door openers. They're icebreakers because they need to ask you something.
Okay.
Well, I'll get those. And then as they start looking at stones or they start looking at herbs, I'll look at them and say, you know, something as easy as, so you were about 10 when that trauma happened? Huh. And they'll look at me, and it's either I get tears, a jaw dropped, or how did you know that?
Huh.
And I won't even know at that point what the trauma was.
Right.
That's literally all I will get. And so once they acknowledge and are not weirded out, which I've never had anybody not want more information. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Most of the time it's like, wait, okay, how'd you know that? And tell me more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think what it is it's either... One of the things that I do work on is learning not to read people without their knowledge, without their permission, mm-hmm. because it's unethical. Mm-hmm. And I am very big on ethics. That's a huge thing for me. And so I think that the way mine works is it's almost like I have a subconscious block that blocks off anything I don't need to know.
Okay.
Because once they have acknowledged or accepted or kind of turned like, hey, give me more, then the rest will come in. And then I'll say it was, you know, a family member or it was a trusted person and it happened for this long. And this is how you're going to heal from it if you would like to learn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing is when I first went into this field, someone had told me that I was an intuitive healer. And I put that on my very first business card. And it just didn't feel right. I'm not a healer. I don't have some sort of extraterrestrial power. I work with energy, just like we all do. I just know how to harness it differently.
Right.
I am not superhuman. I am just human, you know? And so it just didn't sit right. And I was also still in school. And so I talked to one of my professors about it, and they said, no, you're an intuitive empath. You're a medium, but you do wait for the gatekeeper to open. They are their own healer.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine somebody being approached by someone like you, like with a claircognizance, that being a little intimidating to know that,
yes.
you know, you could have access to any of my, you know, my deep, dark secrets.
Yes.
So exactly. I thank you for being so ethical, because not everybody is, and they might go ahead and read somebody without their permission, without their knowledge.
And a lot of times they don't know. And
I won't
say I never did, because of course, when I was new to this, I didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, it's like, what, how did I know to say that to that person? very strange, very strange. But now I'm just, what I tell everyone is, if you have something in your gut telling you to do something, there's a reason for it. And you should definitely explore it. I would not say jump in both feet and, you know, mortgage the house. And, you know, I'm not saying that. But
it could just be a midlife crisis, but if it's
exactly,
not.
Exactly. But most of the time, when there is something that you should explore, it causes movement.
Mm-hmm.
It causes progression. It causes that energy to not be so damn stagnant because you're moving. Now, once you do that, even if that one thing that caught your attention really isn't even for you, it'll be gone by that point. But it will have shown you so many other things that if you hadn't gotten up off your duff when that one thing hit your stomach, you would have missed.
That's a great way to describe all of that. Like I can feel that what you're talking about when you, even when you just make a change, just a change, you can feel the energy shift. And I've told that to people before, and they're like deer in the headlights, look like what?
Until someone really feels a dramatic shift, they'll never understand that feeling.
Yeah.
But once you've felt it and you paid attention to it and you knew it really did happen, it wasn't just a figment of your imagination, you start to feel them more often.
Yeah.
Because you have allowed that channel to open. And that is part of like your energy centers, your chakras, keeping those things flowing and keeping yourself grounded and balanced, and boundaries with people, you know, boundaries. And I'm not talking about boundaries against people necessarily. They can be boundaries for people.
Right.
Because like I've been told by many people that I have a very large aura. I have a very big energy and I can fill a room with no problem. Well, I've also had my next door neighbor, the crystal store. In fact, you met Olga.
Oh.
Because Olga was the one that was there with me, next to us.
Yeah.
Yes. So she's even told me, she's like, girl, I love you, but I can feel more of your energy in my store than I can mine. So get your energy back in your store.
Get your energy out of here. Come on.
So, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
So I've literally started doing boundary spells around the four walls of my shop. Well, the other part of that is I have a massage parlor on the other side of me, and there's a lot of sorrow and a lot of unworked trauma and a lot of just feeling from that side. So I do it around the whole shop for multiple reasons, but she said, that's been better. It's like keeping you in your spot. And I'm like, well, I won't come visit anymore then.
Well,
so the funny thing is the way Desert Witchy Chicks started, that's what I wanted to get to with the education. So during that time, when I was doing the life coaching classes, they had us do a vision board. And so this was in December of 21 that I did this vision board, October of 21. And I still have the vision board as the background on my laptop. And it says right up in the top, Two Witchy Chicks opening December 2023. That was my vision board. Mm-hmm. At the time, we were considering moving to Texas. And so it was going to be Rose and I was going to be who did it. Mm-hmm. Well, then we didn't move to Texas. But Desert Witchy Chicks did start in December of 2023.
Wow.
After a very long digestive problem, illness and surgery and hospitalization and, you know, a lot of things, I finally had the kahunas to just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started out with just a few handmade products. I had, you know, sprays and herb kits and, you know, things like that. And then my husband encouraged me to get a laser engraver. That's how I made the Ouija boards, etc. So my laser engraver sits on my kitchen table. We no longer have a dining room. And believe it or not, I am the one who's addicted to the laser, not my husband. I do altar boards. I do Ouija mm-hmm. boards. I do the crystal grids that everybody wants, mm-hmm. like the metronome.
I'm not sure what it's called.
I always want to say Megatron because I am a Transformers person, and I know it's that. Metatron. So I've done a lot of those types of things. So I do custom work when it comes to those things as well.
Okay.
But tarot readings. I was nervous about doing tarot readings for people until I'd done a few. Mm-hmm. And I realized the whole reason I was nervous about tarot readings is because the tarot cards themselves, I am so intimidated by not understanding the exact meaning of all 78 cards. I cannot memorize that crap. Mm-hmm. I'm too old for this shit. I just turned 52 on Friday. You know, I don't have the new memory cells. You know, so when I realized that, though, I was stopping myself from using my gifts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, and it was the lady who owns the crystal store who really made me think about it. She said, you can read people mm-hmm. intuitively. Mm-hmm. You don't need tarot cards.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't need tarot cards. She goes, the only person who needs them is the person in front of you.
Sure. Yeah.
She said, so you can go through the guidebook and show them what the author meant by that card. You don't have to memorize them all. She goes, because by the time you do that, you've already given them your intuitive reading. Because as you're drawing cards, you're doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh. So I did a few. And then I did a few more. And after doing them and having people return to me and tell me, oh my God, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I finally started saying, okay, spirit, I'm going to surrender to this. Show me what I need to do, which is basically what I've done with every step of the business.
Okay. Okay.
Most every product I have made has been something that I'll wake up in the morning and I see it in my head that that's what it needs to look like. Mm-hmm. And I will look around and 90% of the time I have everything that I already need, whether it was an extra something I purchased, you know, on one material trip, or I happen to see something, oh, this looks cool, I'll use it later, you know, that kind of thing. But literally when I have those dreams, I will wake up and I might need to go get some glue, or I might need to go get some spray finish. You know what I mean? But for the most part, I have everything I need to make it. And so I'm like, okay, so I do it. And I am not doing bad.
Awesome.
You know, I mean, I'm not a millionaire and I'm not going to be, and that's okay.
You just started. Yeah. I mean, in exactly. all reality, you just started and you're doing amazing.
I did.
And you know what?
Well, and I only did markets for the first few months.
Yeah. And you still do. You attend a lot of events.
I don't do any more.
No.
So after we did Tombstone and we came back here, I ended up being allowed the opportunity to utilize half of the space of Olga's husband's store,
okay.
which is how I moved into the store.
I got you.
So now that I have shelves it's really hard to pack them up and take them to the market.
Totally, totally understood. And what a great reason to stop the market hopping and the conventions, as fun as they are.
We are still planning to do some of them. Like we will be in Tombstone next year.
Awesome.
We definitely will probably be in Globe next year. We were supposed to be this last year. And I just had things happen, so I wasn't able to go. That's, in fact, how I got hooked up with the whole Paranormal Society to start with, was Carrie with Tombstone had recommended I get in connection with Globe. I got part of their Paranormal Society by being a sponsor to do the event, even though I couldn't go. And then it literally just kind of all circled from there.
Okay.
So... whatever, why ever, however, I don't know.
Wow. You know what? Timing, somebody told me, actually a tarot reader from my childhood, timing is divine and it's always good.
It is.
Before, I know we are running over time. If you are tight on time, you just tell me. And we will cut.
I'm fine.
I'm fine. But I did want to ask you about another service. Yeah, one more service that you do offer, because it stuck out to me like a big neon sign on your website. I'm looking at it now. You offer past life regression and regression therapy in general, but past life regression. Can you just talk about that? It's something I have thought about many times. Like, oh God, I want to do it. I don't think I can be regressed. I don't want to like go through the whole thing and not be able to do it.
Most of that is just hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. So if you can be put into a meditative state, whether you can do it personally or if you can be guided into a meditative state, then you can do past life and or age regression therapy.
Okay.
Because basically what you are doing in hypnotherapy is you are asking the conscious mind to just shut up for a minute. You're asking your analytical overthinking, oh, no, I've got to go get kids, or I've got to go do this, or I've got to go do, shush. Just step aside and let us look at the subconscious mind. And then what we do is we take you through a series of visualizations, which will basically bring you more into a calm state. And at that point, we're talking only to your subconscious. So your subconscious is the one that slams the doors. Mm-hmm. Your conscious mind makes you not remember that the door was slammed. Basically.
Okay.
And so, like, for instance, I can actually test you right now. So, very, very simple.
Okay.
So, you just close your eyes, and I want you to picture a big juicy lemon sitting on the counter in front of you, and you have a cutting board and you have a knife. I want you to pick up the knife and cut the lemon in half. Mm-hmm. Let the juice spray. Take in the smells. Now pick up half of that lemon and put it up to your face so you can really smell it, and draw in a really deep breath of that lemon. Now put the lemon down, walk away from the counter, open your eyes. Now, tell me what you experienced inside.
I could see it. I'm a very good visualizer, mm-hmm. so I saw every little mm-hmm. thing and could feel it in my hand and the fresh smell and... just the whole like watching a movie, but you know how you get emotionally invested in a movie like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you get that muscle clench?
Oh, full quench. Yeah. I did. How'd you do that?
So that muscle clench mm-hmm. is the sign that basically I was talking to your subconscious mind.
Oh,
because what happened was, that is a parasympathetic reaction.
Huh. That was so easy.
It's an autonomic response.
Okay.
So as soon as your mind saw that bright lemon mm-hmm. and you smelled that bright smell, mm-hmm. something in your subconscious mind went, "Eat that sour." And that's when your muscle clenched. Mm-hmm. You didn't purposely clench it. It was literally, that was a reaction.
Okay. Okay.
That is called an abreaction. So what that means is while I was giving you the visual, you were able to turn it into a reality mm-hmm. in your subconscious mind.
Okay. Does this, would something
that
like this.
Is how it works.
I mean, it's rather easy. You don't even realize. Mm-hmm. Is this something that could work for folks who, have you heard of the some people don't actually experience that mind movie? They don't see yes. anything. They don't.
Right. Right.
Would it work for them? Is it still like working on the same systems?
It can. Sometimes you have to look at different doorways. Mm-hmm. So it could be that you need to put them into a deeper state. You may need to use music. You may need to use sounds. We can even use spots on the ear, believe it or not.
Oh.
It's called, I would say it wrong, oracology. So it's basically like, look up acupuncture of your ear.
Oh, okay.
And you have a shit ton of sensors on your ears, on both of them. And there are specific spots for different things, sexual trauma, eating disorders, you name it. They're sensors in your ears. And so you can actually use things like little gold discs that you can literally give that sensor pressure, which then activates that sensor. Mm-hmm. So if that's what they need to work on combined with the meditative state, and then you can put in sound, you know, anything that brings someone into a relaxed state, you can bring that in. You can bring in vibration. You can bring in crystal bowls. Whatever it can be that can raise that person's energetic vibration. And as they're raising the energetic vibration, they're becoming less conscious of the world around them.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem, is their conscious mind won't stop.
Yeah.
Now, I have ADHD really bad. I know, surprise, surprise, right? So I learned something called a flow through meditation, I believe is what my professor called it. He said, instead of trying to clear your mind of all thoughts, just let the thoughts come in and let them go out. Just instead of trying to control the flow, let the flow work for you.
Okay.
And the flow of those thoughts coming in and out, and just a constant movement with no resistance, is actually supposed to be what puts you into the meditative state.
All right.
I will normally combine that with like candle gazing. Because watching the flame of a candle is one of the easiest ways to put yourself into meditation. Oh,
it's so relaxing too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And as soon as that candle is literally, that's all you see is that flicker. Mm-hmm. You're meditating, even if you don't realize it.
See, listeners, this is, it's easier than you thought it was. Anybody can do this. Anybody can take advantage of these services, awesome services
exactly.
that she offers. For my listeners here, we are getting to the end. I just want to encourage you to please go check out the services that Amy offers. Check it out, because there's a lot more than we actually got to today. Not just the past life regression, age regression, there's home cleansing, there's, of course, the tarot card reading, guided meditation. She's got a lot to look at. And just based on these,
most of those mm-hmm. can be done virtually.
Okay.
I mean, obviously a home cleansing cannot be. I personally do not do home cleansings virtually. I'm not saying they can't be done, because I do know people that are powerful enough to move energy yep. like mm-hmm. that. I do not do that. But most of the other ones can be done virtually.
Okay.
And I will do them over a FaceTime type platform so that you are seeing me. It's not, you know, you're not talking to a bot on a computer. I don't believe in that. And I will never reach out to somebody offering a reading. I do want to make sure that that is crystal clear, because I am on all social media platforms. But unless you reach out to me with a question, I will not reach out to you. I may follow you back if you follow me, and that's more of a courtesy, a common knowledge, you know, a acknowledgement. That's probably more of the word of it. But I will not reach out to you on a private message. So if you get something from me, it's not from me. Yes. I guarantee you.
Yeah. That. Beware if anybody does that. Yeah.
Yeah. I do not do that at all. But I do offer virtual services as well.
Wonderful.
And all of them can be booked online. They can all be booked online. And if for some reason, because I know Google had me set my weird hours to be my store hours. If for some reason appointment times don't work for you, message me, because I can probably get you in around those hours.
Awesome.
So that's definitely important.
Awesome. Yes, please check it out, folks. I don't know if I already said it. It is Desert Witchy Chicks, and that is chix.com. And just go under the appointments or to book tab. Check it out. For us, my dear, you and I, Amy, we are at the final segment, and I have a couple of questions for you, just final questions. Okay. And then we're going to get all of your information where people can follow you online and find you and all of that fun stuff. And then we're going to close it out with some final thoughts. So first question for you. So we touched on crystal work. Mm-hmm. You do crystal assessment. I see that on your website as well. For, like I was telling you before we started recording, I'm a bit of a crystal hound myself, but I'm not incredibly knowledgeable about every little thing. I'll get hyper-focused on it for a second and then on to another thing, but I have them.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody who is new to crystal work or is just interested in learning, just starting to learn, just opening that book a little bit, what crystal is one that you would recommend to that newbie, to the layperson, just to start?
Well, the first and foremost thing I will say is do not buy a beginner set on Amazon. Do not go into, you know, just a tourist stop and get your crystals. Go to a crystal store. Go and actually put your hands on the stones. And it's more than just the personal assistance that you'll receive in a crystal store, because any good crystal store is going to be able to give you guidance like there's no tomorrow. Women don't generally own crystal stores if they don't have some sort of an intuitive empath, something going on in their persona. But that's first thing. Second thing is I always recommend clear quartz can be used for pretty much anything. It can also amplifies the uses of any other stone. So clear quartz is something that I always recommend somebody has in their arsenal. Okay. Obsidian and or onyx or black tourmaline, one of those in black. Tourmaline is going to be your most powerful protective stone. But obsidian, tourmaline, onyx, they are all protective in quality. Okay. So I recommend one of those. Tiger's eye is going to be a really good grounding stone. It's really going to help you keep, especially if you're going through some sort of awakening, it's going to kind of keep you from thinking you're crazy. So it's going to kind of keep that center and that grounding and that energetic earth feel. I'm sure you probably have a Tiger's
eye. I need it right now. There we go.
Yeah, I was going to say yes. I'm sure you have that one. The other one I recommend is amethyst.
Mm-hmm.
Amethyst is AKA the all healer. So it is good for intuitive work because it can work with your third eye. It is really good for anxiety because of its calming properties. It is amazing for children with nightmares. All you do is put it on their nightstand and it actually helps draw out that negative feeling. I mean, there's just so many. I wear hematite all the time. And the biggest reason, in fact, can't see it because it's under my t-shirt, but my hematite ring, I wear hematite all the time. And hematite actually is one that a lot of people say, oh, I got one of those rings and it broke on me. Well, hematite is, it's also the one that's magnetic. If you see them like in the tourist spots and the gray beads that are normally magnetic, that's hematite. It absorbs negative energy. So they will break a lot of times because when they're done absorbing, if you've worked them hard, they're breaking.
Oh.
Any crystal will do that.
Oh.
If you have a stone that just all of a sudden breaks, or if you have a piece of jewelry that all of a sudden the stone won't stay on your chain, you know, it's literally physically trying to disconnect from you.
Wow.
It's done. It's done its job.
And that at that point, you need to replace it. Is that right?
You do. But what you have a couple of options with it. You can either bury it back in the earth because that's where they came from. Let Mother Nature have it back and do with it what she needs. Or you hold on to it. You cleanse it. You just hold on to it. Put it in a place where it's going to be safe. And when it presents itself or when the person who needs it presents themselves, it will be there.
Oh, wow.
And I say this from experience because the young lady that I said I helped in the crystal store, and she is now still my friend and customer, I had a tiger's eye pendant. It was one of my first pendants when I first started going through this journey right after the psychic phone call, the whole nine yards. I had it for about 2 years, and it just about 3 o'clock in the morning, one morning I woke up, went in to go to the bathroom. When I came back, I saw my pendant was laying on the floor. And I wore this thing 24/7. And I was like, that's weird. My cord is still around my neck. I'm like, how is my pendant on the floor? Okay, whatever. It's 3 a.m. So I pick it up. I just set it on my nightstand. I'm like, you know what? I'll deal with it tomorrow morning. So when I got up in the morning, I went to try to put it back on my cord, put it on, clasped it, started to walk around. It fell off. So, and this thing had a lobster claw clasp that would clip onto the rope. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't come off. Mm-hmm. So I go, I put it on again, start walking, falls off. I pick it up. I inspect the hook. There's nothing wrong with it. Put it right back on my rope, get into the kitchen. I'm standing there getting ready to make my coffee. I look down, it's gone. I look over, it's on the kitchen floor. This time, lobster claw is split in two.
Ooh.
It's like, bitch, I ain't going back on
this. Try.
And so I'm like, okay, well, I didn't know what the heck happened. I was so new to this. I really had no idea. So I went into town one day and I stopped at one of the stores where there was this spiritual woman that I knew. And one of the elders from the Hopi tribe happened to be there, who is a very good friend of hers. And so I asked him, I'm like, what does this mean? I don't understand. I love my tiger's eye. And he says, it's done with you. And I went, more information, please. And so he basically told me everything that I had just told you.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you do. So, okay, no big deal. I stuck it away. And I'm almost positive I stuck it away at home. Okay. So I'm at the crystal store one day and I'm straightening crystals, dusting, whatever. And this girl walks in and her energy was so powerfully, overwhelmingly sad that I literally looked directly at her and I was like, hi, hon, what can I do for you? And she's like, I'm looking for something. She goes, I don't know what it is, but I need something. And I'm like, I think you need some grounding. And so I took her over to where I had tiger's eye tumbles. And I went to hand one to her and she goes, oh, no. And I went, okay. I said, I don't normally get that except if it's moldavite. So what's going on here? And she said, no, I was just in Sedona. And I picked up a piece of tiger's eye and it made me nauseous. I said, wait a minute. Let me think about this. And I said, and this is where my cognizance comes in, because where this all came from, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you right hand dominant? She goes, yeah. And I said, show me how you picked up the stone. And she instantly picks with her left hand. And I went, huh. I said, so when are you going to stop trying to fix him? She looks at me, she bursts into tears. She goes, what do you mean? I said, that tiger's eye made you nauseous because when you went looking for healing, you were still trying to fix him, not yourself. And I said, when you reach with your dominant hand, you're reaching for yourself. Mm-hmm. That is for you. That is for energy that you need. When you are reaching with your non-dominant hand, especially when you're trying to seek assistance in a problem, that's for somebody else.
Hmm. Whoa.
Same thing if you're gifting a crystal. If you truly want to gift a crystal to someone, you choose it with your non-dominant hand, with their thought and their energy and their intention in your heart. And then you will find the right stone for them. If you do it with your dominant hand, it's going to be for you. And so she looked at me and she goes, oh, that's weird. And I said, okay. And it was funny because she didn't pick up a tiger's eye, even though I was testing her because she didn't want to be nauseous again.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hold on a minute. I'll be right back. And she's like, okay. I walked over to my purse and I reached into this pocket and I produced my tiger's eye pendant. And she hadn't seen it yet. And I walked up and I said, now, do you trust me? She goes, I can't help it after everything you just said. And I said, okay, I want you to put out your right hand and I want you to close your eyes. She's like, okay. So she did. And I put the tiger's eye in her hand and I just closed her fingers over it. And the moment I did, she started shuddering and she was hysterically bawling. It was the most cleansing release of emotion I had seen probably in my entire life.
Oh.
And she opened her hand and she saw that tiger's eye and she went, holy shit.
Oh.
And I was like, that is yours. And I gave it to her. It was a gift because it wasn't needing to be paid for. This is what it was intention was. Mm-hmm. So about a year or more had passed. I'm at an outdoor market. I have now, because at the time I was working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So now I actually have started my own business and I have a vendor booth. And this young lady walks in and she looks at me and she goes, you ready to help me find my next pendant? And I looked at her and I said, what happened? She goes, that fucking tiger's eye is a runner.
Oh, no.
And I go, what happened? Because, of course, by this time, she knew how I had separated from it, right? She goes, it kept trying to get lost in my backyard. Every time I would go out there and work with my plants, I would lose the damn thing. She goes, and then I found it, and then I put it back on, and then sure enough, I'd go out there, and it'd be gone again. She goes, and this time, I can't find it. She goes, I can't find it, and we even, like, raked the grass. Everything's mm-hmm. the last thing we want is it getting caught in the mower, you know, whatever. It's gone. It's just gone.
Whoa.
And she's like, but the reason I had it has resolved.
Huh. So it was, and I went, was done with her.
Okay. And it was funny because she just came and saw me on, in fact, it was on the 15th of August. And that is one story I definitely need you to know. She came to me on the 15th of August, which is a very day before a very special day for me. And she was just really down. And I, for some reason, felt drawn to my card. So I did a really quick reading for her, which gave her a lot of clarity of what she needed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then she came in and saw me on the day before my birthday. I think it was the day before my birthday. Yes. Yeah. Because she didn't know it was my birthday at that point. And she came to let me know that everything is on the right track from everything that we had figured out, in a much better place. Mm-hmm. So much happier. Just everything great. And then something was said about my birthday. She goes, how is it I end up here the day before your special days every time? And I'm like, I don't know, to give me that extra boost of positive energy because, you know, you're sharing with me something that we experienced mm-hmm. together. Because when I have a reading with somebody, I experience that too. You know, I experience the emotion as well. And so it's always nice when someone comes back and shows you what the ending result
yeah.
is. But so I will tell you that, because I know that one of the questions you had, is about paranormal stuff. So mm-hmm. I will tell you that, but I will wait for that question.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna talk about some paranormal stuff for the Patreon. I believe I'm gonna ask you about that, and I've got some follow up questions to something you told me before we started recording. But thank you for that. You said I can't wait to go back through and re-listen as I edit, because you were saying stuff I've never heard before.
This stuff really is based in complete nature. I mean, if you really just go back to before machines and everything ran our world, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. you go back to the bare basics. That is all this is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so simple, but that makes it so hard for people too. Like, it's so simple, it's hard. Yeah. But yes, exactly. Absolutely, 100%. The only other question I had for you, and I mentioned this at the beginning, I was just curious if you could kind of leave us with like a simple spell. I guess you didn't correct me before, so I'm still not sure what to call it, but like a spell or just a routine, something that you can recommend that people can incorporate, just do themselves, just something real easy that would better their lives in some way or help them with a current problem.
I think the best one on that would be more of a daily ritual. When you first get up in the morning, and sometimes it's even best if you can do this before you even open your eyes. Mm-hmm. And there is science behind the psychology in that. Once you've opened your eyes, you lose 95% of anything that happened in your meditative dream state. Okay. So whether that be memories of dreams, whether that be any healing, et cetera, you're not going to remember any of that. Because once you've opened your eyes, your conscious mind goes, oh, hi, I'm here. I'm going to overthink everything. So if you're wanting to remember dreams, write them down before you open your eyes in the morning. That's the key to take away from that. But so best done first thing in the morning before you even open your eyes. But it's also kind of nice to do right before you close your eyes at night, too. And you want to make sure that your spine is straight. So whether you're laying down or sitting up, doesn't matter. You just want to make sure your spine is straight. And what I tell people to do is to close their eyes and picture a big scrub brush. Like whether it be an SOS pad, whatever you can picture in your mind that would clean the crap out of something. Okay? And I just want to, it's going to be kind of weird because of where my camera is. But basically, you're going to picture it about here, above your head, which is where your crown chakra is. Okay? And you're going to picture it just start to spin. Okay. And as it spins, it's going to work all the way down the center of your body. And what it's doing is chakras are energy centers in your body. We have 7 of them. They go from just above your head all the way down to basically the base of your spine. You start with the crown. It then goes into your third eye, which is about here. Right between your eyebrows, basically. That's where your intuition is. That's where, you know, you get those guidance from, okay, is your third eye. Then you have, of course, your throat chakra, which is your communication, your ability to speak, you know, get your point across, tell your truth. Okay. So this whole time you're picturing the scrub brush, okay, going down all of these things. Your next one it comes to is your heart. That's your ability to love, to be able to be loved, to be able to have empathy, to be able to find your passion, your nurturing. It's all within that love region. Okay. That's your heart. And then it'll go down. The next one down is your gut instinct. That's your solar plexus. When someone says, I just feel it in my gut, that's your solar plexus that's talking to you. And then you go down into your intimate region, which is your sacral. That is where the intimate connections, that's where feelings of love start to come in for the other, you know, your partner. It's a different type of connection. And then, of course, you've got the base of your skull, which is your root. Base of your spine, not your skull, is your root chakra. That's basically the end. That's where you get rid of it. So as this scrub brush is doing this, okay, and it's working down all of these energy centers, the reason you're picturing it doing this and why I keep doing it this way is because the motion is going to kickstart those energy centers.
Oh.
Ones that might be clogged up by all the negativity, mm-hmm. ones that may not be moving as freely as they could be. It's going to basically pick up all that crap. And you're going to picture it pulling in all the garbage, all the darkness, all the negativity, and just literally onto that scrub brush. Well, when it gets down to your root chakra, you're just going to, I always tell people it sounds really not politically correct, but like you're going to the bathroom, okay? Release all the excess that you don't need. Mm-hmm. And you just picture that going back into the earth and being recycled to where it needs to go. Because it didn't belong to you. It didn't need to be there. It's gone. Okay. Once you've done that, now we got to refill. So you've emptied it all. And this process, the whole process, should only take less than 10 minutes. It's a very quick, very easy thing. So once it's all gone, you see all the negativity's gone. You've got all this room. So now you go right back up and focus your visual above your head again. But this time, you're going to see a big white light. Not hot, not uncomfortable, warm, comfortable, glowing, energetic. And you're going to picture that light literally going right back in down the path and filling up all of that space and bringing in just that, the comfort food of energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. That thought after a big pile of mashed potatoes. That's the feeling that you're going to receive when you have that warmth and that. It's just comfort. I don't know how else to explain it.
Cool.
And you've washed away the day. And so waking up that way, mm-hmm. and leading your day with that positivity, mm-hmm. is amazing. Mm-hmm. Sleeping after you've cleansed your day away is amazing. And those are meditations.
So cool.
And it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
So easy to do. There's no candles, there's no herbs, mm-hmm. there's no nothing.
Mm-hmm. You don't need anything.
It's very simple. No, mm-hmm. it's you and your mind.
Awesome.
And when you start connecting to those energy centers like that, mm-hmm. and you can start visualizing them turning and getting clean. And it's like getting your teeth cleaned at the dentist every 6 months. They can tell when you're not flossing. Okay. You will be able to tell when you've not been taking care of your chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also do this if you want to combine them with crystals to make it even more powerful. Think of the colors of the rainbow. And work your way from red at the bottom at your root chakra all the way up to violet at the crown. Isn't it funny how our rainbow is the same color as our energy centers?
Very cool. Yeah.
Now, you know,
Literally.
And then I did want to touch on one thing that I forgot to tell you when you asked me about crystals. The other thing that I tell a lot of beginners, especially if they don't have a good resource to be able to go into a good crystal shop, mm-hmm. think of your basic elementary color system, the feelings wheel, the 1 to 10, show me your pain. Mm-hmm. Think of the colors, okay? Blue is calming and relaxing. Purple helps with sleep, bringing down anxiety. Clear lights up the room, okay? Black takes away because it's abstract. It takes it away. There's no color, okay? So that's going to be your protection. If it looks like the earth, it's probably grounding.
Mm-hmm.
If it's pink, red, it's going to be love, passion. Take your typical color wheel. If you're looking for green, go find money. If you have, or you're looking for money, go find a green stone. Mm-hmm. If you are looking, I mean, it's literal basics. It is not near as hard as people think it is. Numerology in 5 seconds or less, mm-hmm. take 1 to 10. It's a progression. 1 is the first year you were born. 10 is the 10th year of your life. 1 through 10, they don't go 11, 12, 13, 14. They start over, right? Mm-hmm. We have cycles. Mm-hmm. Okay. So numerology, 1 through 10.
Yeah.
Where are you in the path?
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally so easy to read. Mm-hmm. If you tarot cards, the Empress is the mother. The Emperor is the father. The Magician is the son. The High Priestess is the spoiled daughter. It's Jungarian psychology. Mm-hmm. And it really is. In fact, there is a Jungarian deck out there.
Oh.
There is a book by Robert Wang that's the psychology of tarot. And it's based on Carl Jung's psychology model.
Okay. Okay.
And if you look at tarot that way, it's easier to remember what the cards are supposed to mean, first of all. Because each of the other cards are either positions that person is in. Mm-hmm. So that persona, if you are currently in the High Priestess persona, and you have all these other major arcana that are coming in, those are personality or experiences that you're going through that are in your path. Mm-hmm. The minor arcana are basically the tools and the different emotions and the different things you may need or people you may encounter along the way.
Amy, where were you 10 years ago when I was trying to learn tarot and couldn't? I couldn't remember.
I'm going to be doing tarot classes. I am going to be doing tarot classes. Yeah. I'm actually in the process of writing the curriculum for the tarot class.
Are you?
I just haven't finished.
Are you going to announce that on your socials when that's available?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
yes,
please
sure,
let
sure.
us know all of the
Definitely.
Socials you would like us to find and follow you on. Go for it.
Basically, to save everybody the hashtags and all of that, I am very, very easy. If you do a search on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok for Desert Witchy Chicks, you will find me.
Got it.
You will also find one that is Desert Witchy Chicks PNW. That is my niece. She is in the Pacific Northwest. So definitely follow her too. She also offers services. She has a Patreon. I don't have the Patreon and all of that yet, but she definitely does. And she offers a little more services than I do. She works with, different deities than I do. So I work mainly with Freya, who is the mother or nurturer, you know, lover, that's just who she is. Right. I also do cross into my darkness every now and then, and my little bit of Morrigan comes out. So I do have a little bit of a spicy side if I need to. Allie, on the other hand, works with Hecate. That is her goddess. Mm-hmm. Hecate is the triple goddess. She's the mother, maiden, crone, but she also can be quite fierce. People are very intimidated and fear her. And then her newest deity that she just started working with, which will totally freak people out. It honestly even freaked me out in the beginning. Okay, so just saying that first, Lord Lucifer started coming to her.
Huh.
And Lord Lucifer is not the devil. Lord Lucifer is an angel.
Mm-hmm.
He and the way she described him to me, and I've done a little bit of research because I was a little bit afraid. He's basically a spoiled teenage boy that just wants his way.
Oh,
literally the things that he asks for, he wants pretty things on her altar. He wants alcohol. He wants, you know, good smelling perfumes, little things. It's nothing. He's a spoiled brat. That's all he is. But he brings in that dark energy that she needs sometimes when she's working with a client who might have some issues.
Okay.
And so, yeah, when she first said Lord Lucifer, I went, what are you doing? I'm like, I thought we decided we stayed away from that stuff. What are you talking about? And so I had to really like look into what it was.
Yep.
And then I'm like, okay. Now I can understand that because someone said it to me yesterday really, really well. Without the light, you can't see the shadow. But without the shadow, the light doesn't appear to be light.
Mm.
So if you can't have both, you really can't have either one.
Right.
Because you have to be able to balance that. And that's definitely something that working with people and doing readings is, yeah, you have to be able to balance it. Wow. And it's very exhausting. It's exhausting.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I've had others on the show, too, who do, you know, some of what you do here and there. And that's just consistent across the board. Like, drink lots of water, get your ass, because anytime you do any of this, it's exhausting.
I have a really stupid question. Sure. It's totally not off topic, but totally. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's one of those weird ones that just popped up.
Okay.
When you were between the age of 5 and 8, mm-hmm. you had an imaginary friend. Somebody who would come visit, whether it was in your dreams at night. And I want to say it was another little girl.
Hmm. And I would have been aware of her?
I don't know, because I almost feel like she was your shadow side.
Hmm.
Like when you were mischievous or ornery. She would be the one that was basically doing it, because typically you wouldn't have been that ornery girl.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been mischievous. You normally followed the rules. You normally were pretty respectful, all of that. But when you got that spicy hair up your ass, that's how I'm feeling, is it was almost like a dormant personality.
Oh, interesting. That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah. You ain't wrong.
Well, yeah, and you know what's funny is I just recently listened to one of your podcasts. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but it was the booze fire something, basically sitting around the bonfire with beer or something.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember. Oh, Beer, Booze, and Boogeyman. Yeah, that's the other show. Yeah.
And I heard that personality come out in that show.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember what it was, but one of the guys had said something. And it was just a boop that you came back, and it was like, what? Where'd that come from? And you did just that. It was like, oops, oh. I'm sorry. So what I'm feeling is she's still with you. That personality, she's always been kind of a protector of your feelings.
Mm.
When you need spicy, she's there.
Interesting.
I just get chills everywhere. That is weird.
That's really interesting. I'm gonna have to think about this.
When you were little, mm-hmm. She came out when you were little, and I don't know what caused her to come out.
And that's funny, because it bothers me that I don't have those very, very early memories. I don't remember much mm-hmm. of anything before 5. And like, I'll talk to my mother, she's like, yeah, I remember starting to learn how to walk, and like all these like cool, fun memories. Like, and it's like, is it normal to just not, like, my brain?
I don't
my
either.
Brain is, yeah.
I don't either. I remember my 7th birthday like crystal clear.
Oh, gosh.
But anything before, I remember getting my ears pierced when I was 3.
Wow.
But I don't remember anything else. Huh. And I have very few childhood memories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if I see something, it might stir up something familiar. But to have, like, be able to just tell stories about my childhood, don't have
them. Wow.
I don't have them.
Yeah, so maybe you're right. That's when it happened. And that's why, like, okay, that's where my memory starts.
Mm-hmm. Something happened when you were before 5. Something happened that she shut those memories off. The little girl inside who's mischievous and spicy shut them off for some reason. Huh.
Gosh, I did die.
Your
I was one.
Were together. Okay.
But that was like at 1 for like a little bit, just a little bit.
Well, yeah, but you touched death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You did touch mm-hmm. death. I mean, that could have been, there's something else. This is when I would normally be grabbing my tarot cards. And of course, I have no tarot cards in front of me right at this moment. Literally none. I'm literally sitting here going, I have no tarot cards in my office. What?
That says to me, the universe is like, no, that's enough. Let her chew on that, I guess. I don't know. And I'm going to.
Maybe
this is something I'm going
to
think.
That you need to do a tarot reading for yourself.
I do have a couple of decks. Funny. Well, thank you for that impromptu reading.
Yes. Oh, that was weird. I hate it when that happens.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. You cannot help it. It is a gift, and you're supposed to be using it. That's what gifts are for.
Yes. And they also work like muscles. If you don't use them, they do atrophy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to close out the episode, do you want to leave us with any final thoughts, words of wisdom, or a piece of advice?
The biggest thing is probably to really, really, really listen to your gut and don't be afraid of it. Looking back now, back to when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, if I had not been so afraid of what was happening, and now looking back, I know it was happening. Had I not been afraid and shut it out, the additional beauty that could have been part of my life that I was so afraid of, that I hid from, you know, myself and everybody else, would have changed a lot. Now, am I saying I have regrets and I want to change my life? No, not at all. But just the additional levels that would be there. It's so different. We didn't even get into this because this was the paranormal part, but there was a lot of things, signs and symptoms that if I would have seen them or looked at them when I was younger, definitely would be a whole different person today. But at the same time, when I turned 51 last year, I said, this is the first day of the second half of my life. And I truly, truly believe that, you know, so woulda, coulda, shoulda, I'm here now,
yeah.
You know, and I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Yuma is a very tough place to have a small business, especially a boutique in a niche market. You know, if you don't have something for everybody, it is hard. We are a big snowbird community. So we are 90,000 population off season in the summertime. We are also one of the hottest places in the U.S. And in the wintertime, our population jumps up to about 300,000. Because all of the produce that is grown in Central California in the rest of the year is grown here in the wintertime. All of the older seniors and retirees who travel for the winters, because, you know, they live up in the north where it snows, they come here and live for 5 months of the year. Because in our winter, your days average are about 75, 80 degrees.
Whoa. Ooh, well, that'd be nice.
It's beautiful down here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you guys need to get together. In fact, there was another paranormal investigation team that was starting out that I met in Tombstone, and I'm trying to remember their names. One of them was Amy as well.
Oh, I don't know if I came across
two redheads. Bethany Homehouse, she owns an Airbnb that is a haunted house.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I have been talking to them because they were asking about, you know, anybody knew anybody paranormal sites to go visit, basically. Well, check out the Yuma Territorial Prison. Check out the Lyric Theater in Yuma. You've probably heard of the movie The 310 to Yuma, that was about the train. That is actually our train. The train comes at 3:10 a.m. in Yuma to this day. There's a lot of activity here, a lot. So definitely check it out, because I know those places have been open to paranormal teams coming in and doing ghost hunts in the past. I want to say it was Ghost Hunters that was here.
Okay. That would not surprise me. They have been to so many places. I used to love those guys when they were on.
I want to get Jack Osborne.
Well, and if he does come there, then you have to get him in your shop because it is haunted.
Definitely, because Kelly would love my shop because the other side of the shop is all horror and pop.
Oh, yeah. That's her jam.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh. So yeah. So just letting those Osborne kids know that, you know, Yuma wouldn't mind having them here.
Okay. Just throwing it out there in the universe, Kelly and Jack. But well, thank you so much, Amy. Thank you for your time today. This was an awesome chat. I just love listening to you and learning from you. I learned so much today. But that wrap our episode. So I just appreciate you coming on, and you have an awesome day.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy, for joining me on the show. I hope to meet up with you again next year in Tombstone. Please follow my guest at the links I have included below. You can also easily book a reading or other service at her website, desertwitchychicks.com. Following our chat, Amy joined me backstage and shared some incredible stories about afterlife communication and a very interesting deathbed visitor experienced by a close family member. This and all backstage guest chats can be found over at patreon.com/ParanormGirlPod. Please follow the show on social and subscribe on YouTube at Paranorm Girl Pod. You can also catch me live on YouTube every month by following my other show, Beer, Booze, and Boogeymen. Wherever you catch me, I really appreciate the support and the follows. You can also help Paranorm Girl reach new ears by sharing a link to your favorite episode with a friend or by leaving a rating and review wherever you listen. That will wrap today's show. Have a great week, everyone. Until next time, stay safe, keep the nightlight on, and sleep with one eye open.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself, like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp online therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.